and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode.
All right, well, so what do we do today? It's pretty cool to see, you know, where this place has gotten to in terms of the presence of God. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but there's more depth here. And this is not an attack to any other campus. I'm just saying there's more depth here sometimes, especially in these services at Sunday at 6 p.m. You can just go deeper. And the cool thing about when we say deeper, it's because there's this metaphor and this image that the Word of God gives about this river in Revelations 22, where it says that there's a river that is flowing from the very presence of God, from the throne of God. And the thing about a river is that it has different stages, right? I mean, in different moments, there's parts of the river that are just pretty like low and dry. But when we say we go deeper into the river, it means that there is more river around us. And what happens when there's more river around you, when you're like in deeper water, is that instead of you making the decisions, the river makes the decisions for you. That when you are deeper, the river decides what direction you take. You don't decide what direction you take. And the importance of how deep you are is it results in godly results or in your results. And let me just tell you, as someone that has lived both sides, you want godly results. You want godly direction for your life. How do you get godly direction? Go deeper. Deeper to the point where the river calls the shots and you don't anymore. We all know we all like to call the shots, but we're not good at calling the shots. Let God call the shots, not just today, but in general. Let this be a way of life. Amen. I'm finished. Okay. Amen. Well, that was it. Well, that was great. Welcome everybody to Fondren at 6 p.m., your favorite church service on a Sunday night, right? So you're here because you like church, and I like to be in a place that likes church. And so today I kind of want to talk about the way I titled it, or how I titled it, was the start of something big. How do you start something big? How do big things start in your life? And I was on this flight, and there was these screens and stuff, so I got to see like a documentary, and I found out something. It just caught my eye, because now that, you know, we've lived in Mississippi, my daughter was born in Mississippi, I am an advocate for everything Mississippi. Like, I defend Mississippi with a passion. And for some reason, there's other people in the States that don't think Mississippi is that great, and they are wrong. How many know? They just don't know. They just haven't been there. And so, like, you hear people, it's like, where are you going? Mississippi. Oh, Mississippi. I'm like, you shut your mouth. Like, because Mississippi is like the most amazing state I've ever lived in. I've only lived in two. The other one was Texas, and Mississippi was better. It's just, and like, and I will fight you. I will fight. I don't care. Let's go now. But no, after service, because I have to preach. So because I like Mississippi so much, there was this documentary on like the Mississippi River and stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, I have time. Let's see the Mississippi River. And it was cool because it didn't start talking about the Mississippi River, which is weird, because when you press on the documentary about the Mississippi River, what you want to hear about is the Mississippi River. But they started talking about this lake. It's a lake called Lake Itasca. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but it's up in Minnesota somewhere. And there's actually a picture that I put on my notes of Lake Itasca. It's nothing cool. It's nothing cool at all. No, that's actually the Mississippi River. It's the other one. Lake Itasca. There we go. Beautiful Lake Itasca, like 2,000 miles north of where we are right now, like in Mississippi somewhere. It's crazy. But they started talking about Lake Itasca, and they started talking about how you can actually cross this lake, you know, through these rocks specifically, because it's not deep at all. So I'm like, I thought this was about the Mississippi River, not Lake Itasca. Or I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's how I'm going to pronounce it, because it's with a little bit of disdain. Like, Itasca. Like, why are we talking about Lake Itasca? And then they start to talk about that this is where the Mississippi River actually starts. That from this lake, it starts to, like, it's where the start of the next picture, which is the actual Mississippi River. Now, you cannot have this Mississippi River without Lake Itasca. Let's do that again. That was fun. You cannot have this Mississippi River without Lake Itasca. And while I was like just watching this, I wasn't even like taking notes or anything like that. But the Holy Spirit just spoke to me this exactly. Significant outcomes usually have humble beginnings. Significant outcomes usually have humble beginnings. So I started meditating on that because, you know, a lot of us despise the small things, the small moments, to the point where even the Bible invites us to not despise the small beginnings. And so sometimes we take this as like ministry, like don't despise when your ministry is small. But I think that we need to generalize this a little bit more to not despise the small things in nature, you know, like the small prayer times that you might have, because large moves of the Holy Spirit usually start with Lake Itasca, right? The large moves of the Holy Spirit usually start when one or two or three people get together and start to pray just to pursue God, just to go deeper. They're not thinking about a movement. They're just thinking about more presence in their life. And little did they know that what they were starting at that moment ended up being something big. But they didn't start thinking about the big river, the big move, the big ministry, the big whatever. They're just starting small, but because they love it. See, sometimes we miss out on what's glorious because we don't want to do what's monotonous. See, we don't want to do the continual prayer. It says to pray without ceasing, right? And we're like, I mean, I would go to a revival. I would go to a great move of God, but go to prayer? I mean, it doesn't seem to equate. And what we don't realize is you do not get the Mississippi River without a Lake Itasca. You do not get a move of God without a move of prayer in your life. You do not get a huge spiritual awakening unless you wake up and go and pray and go into his presence. There is no, all of this from a documentary. There is no Mississippi River without Lake Itasca. Why? I like how it sounds here. Itasca. Why? Because significant outcomes usually have humble beginnings. You know, one of my favorite revivals is the Azusa Revival, Azusa Street Revival. Just because of all the testimonies. And if you know me, I love testimonies. I like to give them, but I also like to like hear them from people. It's mesmerizing. And the Azusa Street Revival was so cool. It was so interesting that people from like newspaper companies and, you know, everyone on the news wanted to go and see what was happening because they couldn't believe the stories. They couldn't believe that one of the story was that, you know, the glory of God was so thick in the place that kids would like play hide and go seek in the presence of God. Well, I mean, that's kids ministry right there. Like, just talk about kids ministry, just crazy. So people would go, reporters would go and be like, what is this? And then they would just be mesmerized by people being healed, saved, the presence of God just being tangible and real in that place. And they would write about it over there in Los Angeles. It was just crazy. But what I liked, so I studied it, and what I like about the story of William Seymour, the guy that started it, was that his beginning didn't really equate to something big. His you know, where he started, you know, the people that he was surrounded by, you don't see that and you're like, oh, move of God right there. Like, this is going to happen. It was actually quite the opposite. He was, like, kicked out from Bible school because at that time, there was racism and all that. And so he had to listen to the classes outside. But one of the things that I noticed from his life was that he decided to pray consistently, constantly, all the time, to the point where at one point, he was praying about 5 hours a day. Just constantly, consistently. There was no Netflix, obviously, because he had so much time to pray. And he did this for 2 years in this house. And no one, like, would stop by and was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I mean, they got planning center ready for all these people that are about to come. You know, like, their production was ready. No, no, no. What they were doing, though, is they were doing what everyone else might think as monotonous, repetitive. Like, why do we do this? Have you ever felt like you were supposed to do something that God told you to do, but you answer with, but I already did that. Like, I already did that yesterday. Like, hey, pray. Yeah, but I already did that. Like, did you forget? I haven't forgot. Like, I think that prayer is good enough. Like, my Monday prayer, it should be good for Thursday. And the problem with that is, it's not what you are doing, is where it positions you. That prayer is not just what you said, it's where you were. That you were in the presence of God. You were in the actual river of God. And the more you pray, the deeper you go. And then when the more deep you are, then he gets to call the shots on your life. He gets to direct your life more. It's kind of hard for the river to affect your life when you're only ankle deep. No, wait, like, you feel it. And you have a good experience, but that's all it is. It's a moment. It's an experience. It's a time within your week. And you might go in a little bit more, and then it's kind of like affects you a little bit more, like your knees. But in order for it to change your life forever, you got to go all in. Look at your neighbor and say, I need to go all in. My parents, when they started, I like to talk about my parents because I've made a commitment to try to honor them as much as I can. And so one of the ways I can honor them is by speaking well of them. I gave them so many headaches in life that I kind of want to, like, reverse that. I think there's, like, a check that I need to write at one point to them. But in the meantime, I will talk good about them because it's cheaper. No, I'm just kidding. But my parents, when they started out in ministry in Colombia, Now, there's like over 500 churches that they have helped start in South America and Bible schools and thousands of people. And, like, it's the whole thing. You're like, wow, it's amazing. But what's interesting is if you beat my dad, like, one-on-one, you really don't think, wow, world changer. Like, you know, like, oh, he's got the charisma and he's just going to change. Obviously, you know, there's some people that you might see that and you're like, automatic leader, we know. But he was like an introvert. Like, he makes introverts uncomfortable about how introverted he is. He's not of a talker. He'll sit by you. He can sit by you, and he's okay with silence. Which is, like, to me, it makes me uncomfortable. Like, I need something to happen. I'll make weird noises or something. I just can't have silence. And he's cool. He can sit there, and he's having fun, but just existing. And this man, when you go down to Colombia, you see everything that's happening. You're like, oh, wow. But his beginning was super interesting. When they moved to Colombia, they moved in 1988 when there was car bombs going off, when there was, like, the narcos and the whole thing, like the Netflix series. I don't know if you've seen it or not with all the prayer that you've been doing. But maybe you've heard about the Netflix series. Well, they moved to Colombia during that time. And the reason they moved there was because my dad was praying at one point, and he heard a voice of the Lord say, Bogota. And he didn't know what that was. He's like, that's probably some Greek word or something. So he looked it up in the dictionary and found out that that was the capital of Colombia. And so then he told my mom, well, I guess this is where we're going. Had no idea. No one else. That's just it. One word of God. And moved down with a box full of books that he liked to read, a backpack and a bag filled with clothes. And that's it. And they have a picture of, like, their day one in Colombia. And when you see it, you do not see revival, 500 churches, you know, thousands of students. None of that you see. Like, you just see two people and you're like, I don't know. It looks like Lake Atasca. That's a whole bunch of rocks. And it's like, I don't know what they can do. But if you start small, but obedience in the long direction, though, will take you to places that only God can place you. If you're consistent with what other people call monotony, with what other people call repetitive. That's not being repetitive, it's being consistent. If one thing I remember my dad, like day in and day out, he would pray all the time. Like pray to a point where it was very stressful for a kid that wanted to play Xbox. Because he'd pray. I remember Saturdays, there was like worship practice and everything. There was service on Saturday night. And then after Saturday service, he said he would stay. And so sometimes he'd tell me, if you stay with me, I'll buy you McDonald's. So I'm like, well, this is obviously the will of the Lord for me to stay. But the reason why is he would stay and then he would just pray. And it would be like 8, 9 p.m. when he would start to pray. And sometimes I just get like fidgety a little bit because McDonald's closes at 12. And my dad's like still in the presence of God at 11:45. Like, you know, there's you promised and everything. But I remember for years I would see this happening. And for years I would see that the church wasn't that, you know, what it is today. And then, you know, some people would call it like an all of a sudden moment, but it's just a result of repetition. You know, other people might call it like, oh, you know, they say, you know, people are lucky, but what luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Yeah. That when the opportunity appears, you are already ready. And a lot of people aren't quote unquote lucky because they're not prepared for the opportunity. And when the opportunity shows up, they miss their opportunity because they were not prepared. So what are we doing? What is the call? What is the call to action for this message? It's very simple. Be ready by being in the river. Be ready by going deep in the river consistently and constantly. Don't let it just be a Sunday night event. Let it be a lifestyle that you are consistently in the river, that you are consistently in the presence of God, that you can listen to His voice and you know who God is. Because it's incredible to me that we get surprised and almost are mesmerized by people that can listen to the voice of God. Like you hear Pastor Luke and he'll like randomly say, I see a mushroom, right? And it's like, and the mushroom is talking and stuff. And you're like, what is he saying? It's like, and you're the mushroom. And you're like, oh, I am the mushroom, right? And what I'm saying, and this is not to make fun, extremely prophetic. And you're like, oh my gosh, he obviously has a gift. He obviously knows what he's doing. No, what he's been is he's been in the presence to the point where he knows his voice. The word of God says that his sheep know his voice, which kind of, you know, is conflicting to me because I'm supposed to be his sheep, which means I'm supposed to know his voice. And so if I don't know his voice, it's one of two things. Either I'm not a sheep, and then there's a whole eternity that we need to talk about. Or I am a sheep, but then I'm not close to the flock. I'm not close to the pastor, to the shepherd, to the presence of God. So if I want to be, then I need to be close. This needs to be a lifestyle. Joshua chapter 3. Says, then Joshua rose early, and we're going to read the whole chapter. Is it fine that we read a whole lot? Well, we're going to take our time because we need the word of God. Joshua chapter 3 says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. How would you say that in English? Acacia? 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 Acacia Grove, and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from the place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Hivites, which we talked about this morning, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Verse 14, are we still good? Verse 14 says, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Saretan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Now, what's incredible about this story that we just read is what happened. They have the Ark of the Covenant, which is something very interesting. It says, you know, stand 2,000 cubits behind the Ark of the Covenant. I believe the message behind that is when it comes to the presence of God, don't ever get ahead of the presence of God. Always put the presence of God before you and always follow it. If the presence of God goes, then you go. If the presence of God stops, then you stop. The reason we create frustration in our life is because we get not only ahead of ourselves, we get ahead of the presence of God. We go and do something expecting godly results without consulting God. And so the first thing is that they stayed behind the Ark. Now they go through and they step on the water. And then it says something very interesting that I've always liked about this passage is that the miracle didn't start where they stepped. The miracle started literally 16 miles upstream. If you read about it, if you study it, it says 16 miles upstream. I believe a lot of the miracles in our life never happen where you are stepping. They've always started where you've been praying. They've always started where you've been pressing. They've always started upstream, where you thought it was repetitive, but you still dug deep. Where you thought it was repetitive, but you still went all in. Where you thought it was repetitive and you were tired, but you still gave it your all. It was then that the miracle started. It is now that you see it. But like Pastor likes to say, there is no this without that. Just like in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit fell, and so Peter starts to preach, and he says, this is that. What is that? This was what was spoken. If it wasn't spoken by the prophet Joel, you would never live Acts chapter 2. You need that in order to have this. And in the same way, when they're walking through, you do not have this miracle without that happening before. You don't have this miracle without having pursued the presence of God in days past. There's a lot of us that just live frustrated because we want this right now. But there's never been that. Since small beginnings, humble beginnings, usually are the start of significant outcomes. Significant outcomes usually have humble beginnings. Joshua and the Jordan River is a miracle happening 16 miles upstream. Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Look at God. God sees something small and it makes him happy. Because God doesn't see what's small, God sees what can be. See, so if he's rejoicing, it's because he knows, and when we should learn this already, this should be like an established principle in our life, that anything that God starts never stays small. As long as I stay obedient, I will see it the way God sees it. But I have to stay my course. I have to stick to it. For some reason, in today's day and age, and it's probably our generation and the next generation that are coming, we're so used to things being quick that we get frustrated when it doesn't happen when we want it to happen. And because it doesn't happen when we want it to happen, we think it's not going to happen. And that's a big lie. Maybe it doesn't happen when you want it to happen, but if God said it's going to happen, guess what? It doesn't matter what's going to happen. It's going to happen. Did I say it's going to happen a lot? I think I did. I felt like I said it's going to happen like 20 times. But it's going to, guess what? It's going to happen. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. What is beginning? We've talked about, you know, stepping into the presence of God like a river. But actually, Jesus says in John chapter 7, he stands up in the great day of the feast, and he looks around, and he cries out. He literally screams. He's seeing everyone, they're pursuing success. They're pursuing everything that can actually be found in the presence of God. And so he says, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly. So it's not just like out of the throne of the Lord where you pursue your presence, but it's actually out of you there will flow a river of living water. Why? Because the Holy Spirit actually abides in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's crazy to be someone with so much power and so oblivious. That you're like, oh, why do we have to pray? Well, do you not understand the power that you have that is living inside of you? That the same power that raised Christ from the grave lives inside of you and gives life to your mortal body? You know, there's this president in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, I think is his name, Kim Jong-un, something like that. And what's crazy is, listen, the man, you know, he's not tall, he's not like a physical prowess of any sorts. He's he's like kind of weird, kind of small, kind of mean looking, the whole thing. You know, anyone can beat him in a foot race, I bet. And it's just one of those things. But why does the world listen to what he has to say? Because of the power that he has. He has nuclear bombs. So it doesn't matter how unphysically fit he might be, and you know, his dietary laws that he lives by and everything, it might be weird. But when Kim starts to talk, the world listens. Why? Because Poppy has like a bunch of bombs. Listen, like like Kim. Like, when he talks, we listen. And all the news people go and all the reporters are listening. Why? Because the man with the bombs is talking. The man with power is talking. The man that can change the course of history is talking. And it doesn't matter how he looks. It doesn't matter how he smells. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is what he says. Because he can say something wrong, and then bombs are starting everywhere in the world because he has power. Well, guess what? The same power that raised Christ from the grave lives inside of you. That when you talk, heaven listens. That when you talk, hell listens. When you talk, Satan starts to tremble because, like, what he's going to say? Because what you can say can change the course of history. So when you pray, when you fast, listen, life is being changed. Like the river is starting to form. And yes, it might look like Lake Itasca sometimes. But you don't have the Mississippi River with the thousands of tons of force in which it flows without the start of Lake Itasca. And you don't have future moves of the Holy Spirit where families are saved, people are healed, relationships are restored without prayer, without moments of vigil and prayer, without moments where you just decide to fast. Is it January? No. And yet we can still fast. Did you know that you can fast? Even when it's not January, it's mind-blowing, I know. Because obviously January is where we're writing our New Year's resolutions and stuff like that. But even Jesus says, well, when you fast, it was something that was expected. He's like, you know, when you guys fast, well, do this. It was just something that he would say. It wasn't even a law. It's not even a commandment. You can't find it as a commandment. It's supposed to be a way of life.
It's those little Lake Itasca moments that create the big Mississippi River movements, if you will. And that there is, and this is why I'm giving the message here, because I know we're in a room filled with people that want that. We're in a room of people that want the move of the Spirit. And we want to see God move, you know, where people can come in and just see the tangible presence of God. Seeing signs, miracles, signs, wonders, healing. Like, I want that. But then I can't miss out on that just because I don't want to do what I've been called to do consistently. Pray without ceasing. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. It's something that is consistent no matter what. It doesn't say if you feel like it, when you have time. No, you make time. Because there is a river that wants to flow out of you. It's a river of life. Matthew 6:6 says, but when you pray. It's not like, so if you pray, or, you know, when it's January and we all pray. It says, no, in your time of prayer. So it means like we're not even going to read the rest of the Bible verse until we address this. Do you have a moment that's just a given? This is when you pray. Like all the time, consistently, at all times, no matter what, you know, in every season of life, in every season of the year, in winter, in spring, in summer, in fall, no matter what, no matter if it's like jacket season or latte season or whatever type of season there is, you still pray. When you pray, go into your room. Shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Which is, I love this because you will be rewarded in public for stuff that we've done in secret in our prayer life. What's crazy is, and this is no stones thrown. If anything, I'm throwing them at me. But when people don't see a reward in public, it's easy. The answer is easy. It's because there hasn't been any work in private. Right? And sometimes we attribute it to the devil is just attacking me. But to be honest, it's because God hasn't really seen you much. And I'm not saying we don't go through problems. I'm not saying we go through tribulations. But man, even when we go through tribulations, the Word of God says to consider it all joy. So if you can't consider it all, it's hard to consider it all joy when you haven't been with God, because in His presence there is fullness of joy. And so when there is lack of joy, it's just there's lack of presence. When there's lack of reward, it's because there's been lack of presence. Well, when there's lack of results, it's because there's been lack of presence. Can I invite you today? And I invite you today. I know the message is simple. I know I know maybe this isn't the biggest revelation, but if we wanted to conclude it in like one simple phrase, prayer has to be a lifestyle. It's not just moments in life. Presence has to be a lifestyle. It's not just moments in life. Worship has to be a lifestyle. It's not just moments in life. And I'd like to even ask the band, because I wanted to finish a little bit early so we can have more time to just pursue His presence. And the pursuit of His presence is not... You know, sometimes we treat it like Christian karaoke, right? And so we do everything that they do up here. So if they raise their hands, you raise their hands. You know, and they like, they're starting dancing, you start to dance. And then shout, and then jump, and we jump. And that's fine that if it helps you. But it starts from the heart, which is why Jesus said, you know, when you pray, go into your room. When you don't see what other people are doing. Like, make it a lifestyle where you don't even have to publicly address it to people. Like, do people know that you pray or not? I don't know if they know if I pray or not, but they will at some point when they start to see the reward, when they start to see the results of prayer. And then they can say, oh, you're lucky, you're everything. And you can say, no, I was prepared when the opportunity came. Amen. I ask you to stand up real quick. Now, again, as is everything that we do, I don't want you to feel forced or manipulated in this moment to do anything, but I do want you to be led. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, I want this to be a moment where we can actually do it. And what I want is for today to be that Lake Itasca moment, So it doesn't have to be anything crazy. But now you know where this takes you, though. See, it's interesting. That picture of Lake, I don't know if we can put it now, but that picture of Lake Itasca changes when you know where it leads. Because you're like, oh, that's not a bunch of rocks anymore. No. That's the start of the Mississippi River. Like, if I didn't tell you that, then you'd just be like, well, that's just some random creek somewhere. You know, that it looks like it's the bayou in Louisiana or something. But now that you see it, you're like, oh, no, now there's more respect for these rocks. Because it might not look like a lot, but it's the start of, like, one of the biggest rivers in the world. It's the same with prayer moments like here. Fondren at 6 p.m. might look like Lake Itasca sometimes. But when you know where it's taking you, you respect Lake Itasca. You respect the 6 p.m. service, if you will. Right? And I know I may be preaching to the choir right now because you are here. But for those that are at the podcast, maybe they need to hear this. But it's these moments that start something big in the future. That when you get to that point, you will be reminded of this. You will be reminded of the day of the 20 days where we worshiped here consistently. You will be reminded of the days where we decided to fast on an April, right? I don't know. I'm just making things up right now. Like you'll be reminded of those random moments, those Lake Itasca moments, where you're like, I mean, it's weird, but I will be obedient. Long obedience in the same direction. Because for other people, it might look like a creek with rocks. But no, this is my Lake Itasca moment. This is where the move of God starts in my life. This is the origin story of a great move of God in the Fondren area, in the Jackson metro area, in the state of Mississippi. Come on, believe with me. If you can't even say it, just say, I believe with, amen. But we're believing for something big. And it doesn't have to be today. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but it's going to happen. Come on, say it with me. It's going to happen. It's a given. If I just follow Lake Itasca to wherever it's going to take me, I end up seeing the Mississippi. If I just follow the Spirit, even in the small moments, wherever it wants to take me, I'll end up seeing a move of God like never before. And we don't have to copy anyone else. We don't have to be Azusa Street Revival. We don't have to be the Asbury Revival. We have to be, no. This is going to be like the Fondren Revival, right? Maybe the Jackson Revival. I don't know. What if we call it the Mississippi Revival? I don't know. We get to call dibs on the name because we're starting it, right? But let this inspire you tonight. I want you to be inspired not just to have a moment right now. I want you to be inspired to have a whole lifestyle. Like pray. When you pray, when you fast, pray without ceasing. In everything, rejoice. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, don't turn off the Holy Spirit. It's like in all you do, you pray, you give thanks, and you don't turn off the Holy Spirit. You allow him to move. Father God, we come to you today here at Fondren, at our 6 p.m. service. And I know some of us might be tired. I know I feel a little tired. My voice is wanting to quit right now. But even in this moment, Father, we acknowledge you. Jesus said, you said, that if we're thirsty, that we can come to you and drink, that out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. Father, let it flow tonight. Let your river flow. Father, let it flow like we've never seen it before. Let your river flow, Father, in our life. Let it be real. Let it be real. Let it not just be a small trickle of your presence, Father. Let it be in the overabundance of your presence. Let it overtake my life. Let it call the shots in my life. I want more of you, Father. I want more of your presence. Move now. Move in my life, Father. Hallelujah.